Welcome back to Conservative Conversations. I'm your host, Reed.
And I'm Frank.
Today we're going to be talking about Vladimir Putin's re-election and New York City's struggles with the immigration issue and more. And before we get started, listeners, we'd like to remind you to please subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel. We would greatly appreciate it. And I believe to get started, Frank's going to kick it off.
That's right. I woke up this morning. I was just out of town, and I didn't have good cell reception where I was, so I didn't catch the news for a couple of days. And today I was looking, and Putin won his re-election in Russia, and it's just glowing results. It's 10% higher than his last election.
Oh.
His total share of the vote is 10% higher. And it's the highest voter turnout on record in Russia since Boris Yeltsin won his election.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, more people came out and
that's interesting.
Voted in much higher numbers for Putin this time than last time around, even though he basically didn't have any competition.
Right. I don't think I've heard direct clips of it, but I've heard somebody talk about how even one of his oppositions was asked a question about him, about Putin, and the guy basically declined to comment because he's the opposition guy, so he's not going to say anything bad about Putin because you might end up like Alexei Navalny or somebody else.
Yeah, well, it's interesting you'd bring him up. I mean, of course you'd bring him up, but right. Putin says, after he won his re-election, in his acceptance speech, if you will, or his victory speech, he says, you know, that he agreed to let Navalny out just a couple of days before he died.
Oh.
You think about that? You think that's true?
Well, probably not. Why wouldn't the man have agreed to get out if he had the opportunity?
Uh-huh.
Right? So
it's only now that he's dead that, right. You know, I gave him the opportunity to get out.
Right, of course.
But yeah, the longest-serving state leader of Russia since Stalin
right.
won 87.9% of the vote.
That's a lot.
Yeah, even though somehow, all over our media, there's all this footage of dissent. There's people striking. Mulvaney, whatever his name is, his wife was out in protest.
Right. A bunch of them are off to war.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, and supposedly at least one polling station was burned down.
Oh, wow. I hadn't heard that.
Oh, yeah. But it was just a glowing win for Putin, of course. Just amazing. Right. You should have seen him pat him on his back. So I just thought it was interesting because our, you know, State Department and whoever evaluates these kinds of things, they're calling it highly implausible, the vote turnout, you know? Highly implausible.
Right.
But I'm going to transition here a little bit because the only thing that our two sides really share on this as far as just the average population goes
right.
is the Ukraine issue. It seems like that is an issue to both sets of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that either, you know, there's people who do not support the Ukraine initiative on both sides
right.
here. But anyway, like I said, to transition away from, you know, just his election mm-hmm. into more of the analysis of how our State Department and whoever, our talking heads in our media and stuff, are calling it highly implausible. Well, I was having a conversation with a family member on this same trip, you know, that I was talking mm-hmm. about. And I was saying that, you know, I don't think a Democrat could win this cycle. I just don't think so. I don't believe it because of, you know, some of the other things that we'll actually end up talking about
right.
here in a minute. But my grandfather, who I respect very much, very conservative man, says, oh, no, I definitely think a Democrat can win it. And I'm like, how? I don't understand. How could you say that? And he says about the last election, how little confidence. You know, and you'll see this. I'm not one to really just harp on it and harp on it, but there are certain people like Sean Hannity, you know, the Sean Hannity types who just say Every time they talk about Biden, they say the most votes in history, folks, more than Obama. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. You know, like casting this huge doubt
right.
on our own elections.
Right.
And so I thought that was interesting because, you know, I mean, it's interesting to talk to somebody you respect and somebody mm-hmm. who's from the same sort of philosophical background
right, yeah.
as you to say that. You know, basically that there's no point in voting, that it's just stolen. You know, you get in trouble if you say that, and I wouldn't want to make YouTube angry or the algorithm angry or anything.
Right.
But I just thought that was interesting, you know, to be reading the news today about this election and see how people are saying, oh, well, it was a farce, it was a sham, when there are people who feel the same way about our election results in this country.
Right. That is interesting. Yeah, I wouldn't really have thought, I mean, obviously, there's definitely groups of conservatives and Republicans out there who still believe that and are concerned about issues like that, but I wouldn't have thought it'd be too many people that would think that, but that's, I think it could have an effect on how people vote, because a lot of pundits, when going back to that Georgia runoff election in 2020,
yeah,
how at the time Donald Trump was discouraging people to go vote then because it was around the same time, and they thought the votes would just be rigged for that, those two races, and we end up losing two Republican seats in the Senate, and some people believe it was because of
his comments.
Right, yeah, yeah. yeah. So I would hope that doesn't really carry on too much for this election.
I know, and it is interesting. I mean, you can't lose faith. That's right. What I've found to be particularly concerning.
Right.
You know, is from a faithful person.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's slightly different because we're talking about the Lord, not the elections. But right. it's just interesting to see such a lack of faith
mm-hmm.
from a faithful person, you know, like even if, let's just say even if there were no point, I mean, you'd still want to go do,
right,
make your best effort, try your best, right. do, vote your conscience, do what you can.
Right.
It's kind of
just. You can at least say you did your part to try to make the change.
Yeah.
Instead of being the type of people who just sit at home complaining all the time about politics, the government, but never go out and never actually vote to help make any changes on it.
Yep. And so, anyway, just as sort of a mental exercise here, under that line of thinking, I just wonder if maybe Putin really did win in a landslide. Because it looks to me, if you go back and relook at this footage of these people on strike
mm-hmm.
and these people burning polling stations down, were they voting? Or were they striking and burning polling stations down?
Right.
So it's kind of interesting, you know? I mean, who knows?
Right. It's definitely hard to tell. You have to take a little grain of salt.
Yeah, as they say. Absolutely.
But yeah, that is an interesting comparison how, you know, we perceive their elections and how people feel about them compared to ours and how people feel about them.
Right. Well, it's sort of like the whole pot calling the kettle black mm-hmm. thing, and you know,
yeah.
When you point your finger at one place, you got four fingers pointing right back right. at you, or yeah. whatever they say.
Mm-hmm.
There's an element of that to it.
Yeah.
I think it's also, you know, depends on who you are, whether or not you even trust the State Department's analysis of anything.
Sure.
Right. So. I don't know. It's just something I wanted to bring up and talk about. It is news. Putin won his election, and I guess congratulations to him. I don't know.
For another, I think 8 years is a term. I think I heard the last election was 2016.
I think it was 2018.
Oh, okay.
That's what I have written down here.
Close. Longer than ours.
Yeah.
Yep. But go out and vote this November, people.
That's absolutely right. Don't lose courage.
Right. I mean, you know, some Republicans might discourage like mail-in voting and stuff like that. But if it's an option, well, the Democrats are going to take advantage of it. So we should be too. I mean, it's an above board way. Well, no, it's legally by policy, you know, law in the state to vote that way. So take advantage of it if you need to.
If it's convenient, yeah.
Right, yes. Don't be shamed into not being able to vote on voting day or anything like that.
That's right.
Yep. And you got something else for us?
Well, yeah, I wanted to move in and talk sort of a little more about what I was saying about why I don't think a Democrat could win this cycle.
Right.
And if you remember, you know, when we had Dustin on, mm-hmm. we were talking a little bit like this about, you know, do I think Trump could reunify the country or
right.
bring the country together or something? And I was trying to explain to him sort of my vision of how, you know, sort of reunification of the two parties, of our people coming back together to normality, reality,
sure.
might work. And, I mean, I don't think I got to hit a lot of the points that I would have otherwise wanted to make. And I don't know that I'll be able to hit all of them here. But when I look at the news, I do see some encouraging things. And a lot of them are coming out of New York right now, because they've had such an issue with mm-hmm. immigration
right.
and crime.
Uh-huh.
All of these migrants being present and, you know, well, we'll just get into it, because you'll see there's a particular point. I didn't catch the lawmaker's name. She's a local lawmaker there in New York. But you'll see she even talks about one of the issues here. So the biggest thing, though, is that New York has had this right to shelter mm-hmm. sort of law, if you will, or sort of cultural norm built in
right.
for a long time, long time. But now, because of all these issues and all the crime, they're starting to look at that and saying, mm-hmm. you know, should we have this right to shelter? Should we be a sanctuary
yeah.
for this type of thing? And Mayor Adams, in particular, mm-hmm. has been rocking the boat and making waves down there, because he's coming out and saying, you know, that somebody should not be able to commit, like, a homicide
right.
and then just go quietly into the night because of New York's laws that say they can't pick up the phone and call ICE.
Right, yeah.
So he's saying, it's interesting because everybody reacts, you know, the sky's falling. Mm-hmm. You know, the people who don't agree that any of this should be addressed, just be quiet about it. Just let it keep happening. Let it keep happening. They're saying, well, you know, we've had this on the books forever in New York.
Right.
We've been a right to shelter. You know, they think that the homeless can just go up and ask. They
right.
say, do you have a room available? And if people have a room available, they have to give it to somebody. It's a New York law, apparently. I had never heard of this, but apparently it's a thing. Hmm. If you have a vacant property and somebody asks you to use it since it's not being used, apparently under the law, you have to let them use it.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Uh-huh. And it's been that way for a long time. And a lot of people are up in arms saying, you know, we don't want to change our ways. We believe in this. It's a New York thing to, you know, offer a space.
Right.
And if you look at what Mayor Adams is actually saying, it's a subtle thing. He's not saying, let's change any of that, change the law. He's just saying, let's change the rule that says we can't call ICE.
Right.
Let's just, if they've committed a vicious enough crime or have a track record of committing these kinds of crimes,
right,
then let's pick up the phone and call ICE.
Right.
Is that the end of the world?
No, I mean, sounds like he still prefers, you know, like the right to shelter policy, but he would just like to be more strict about who it gets to apply to, and seems like reasonably, he doesn't want it to apply to violent criminals.
Right. And I think that's encouraging. I mean, he
yeah.
was supposed to be the pro-cop mayor,
right.
you know, and all of that stuff,
right.
Against crime, clean up the streets kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's had his moments of
sure.
success, moments of failure.
Right.
I like this, and I see this as a moment of success, because mm-hmm. he's highlighting an issue within the Democratic Party, not
right.
from outside of it, but from within, and making them address this,
mm-hmm.
you know? Where right. are we going to draw the line?
Yeah, you're seeing, I mean, people are starting to see similar things from various Democrat leaders, like the mayor in San Francisco, I believe, or maybe Oakland, that area of California.
Sure.
She's trying to get like their municipal benefits that they give out changed so you have to be drug tested.
Oh, that's not very Democrat.
Right? Yeah. So there's, I think...
Sounds like it came right out of Stalin's mouth.
So it's some. It seems like at least some of these leaders are, you know, coming to in certain ways.
Well, and I hope that it'll keep that way. I hope the trajectory stays that way.
Right.
Because, I mean, if you listen, I ought to, you know, the clip will be in the show notes. I'll provide it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's this local female leader who I was just alluding to a minute ago who came out and, you know, she was sort of describing, I'm pretty sure her push is for like more federal aid and more federal things need to be done, whatever, because she's on the left side of the fence.
Sure.
Okay. But if you really listen to what she's saying, it just doesn't sound good, period. Not just like they need more funds and stuff, but more like the whole system is wrong. Mm-hmm. Because she's talking about how they have these, you know, temporary housing and the bath thing situations aren't great as mm-hmm. far as them getting to bathe and use the latrines and stuff like that. And they're not very exactly comfortable. It's not a 5-star hotel mm-hmm. that these places are now. In some places, they are staying in 5-star hotels, but in other places, they're not. They're temporary shelters. They're these overflow places, these outdoor stadiums that have been converted to
community
this
buildings.
Kinds of stuff. And she's saying, here's the big thing that I find so telling, is one of the last points she makes is how these big groups of people that are gathered here into these concentrations, you might almost say, they're concentrated in these small little spaces, mm-hmm. temporary housing. They have nothing to do.
Right.
Well, I don't know what old quote it is. I'm going to get close to it. I don't have it exactly right, but they say something like being unoccupied is the devil's playground.
Yeah, or idle hands are the devil's playground.
Yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm. And it just makes you wonder. I mean, they've already had so much crime. Right. And then you have these people standing around doing nothing and
getting in fights with the cops.
Well, each other,
yeah.
The cops, people on the street, you know. Can I have $20 and somebody says no and they want to punch you or steal your wallet or who knows? And,
and
they might start saying to themselves, you know, there's a lot of liquor down the street. Why don't we go get it?
Right.
Or you get what I'm saying, that kind of thing.
And yeah.
It just seems like a breeding ground for bad things.
Right? Of course.
So, what it,
go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that it almost seems like some of these situations could get worse because of what's happening in Haiti. A lot of people are trying to get out of Haiti and coming to here, so they're expecting a lot more Haitian migrants, and which is just going to increase the number of people that are already trying to get here.
Well, absolutely. And using the small, limited amount of resources mm-hmm. that are already there.
Right.
Grabbing up those few dollars that are available.
Yeah. And it seems like a lot of people are getting pretty tired of the immigration situation. It's starting to be the top issue in polls where the economy used to always be ranked as like the number one issue people are worried about. But now it's immigration, and like in New York City, people are getting upset because they're housing the migrants in, you know, these, like I mentioned, these community buildings where kids used to be able to go play and, you know, all that stuff, do after school programs. But now the places are being taken up by people who's
essentially homeless people.
Yeah. And some believe shouldn't even be here in the first place.
Right.
And now it's like the government's gotten their priorities completely backwards.
Totally.
And I think in some areas people are going to start, reacting to that
with
their votes.
And it's concerning because, I mean, we've covered a lot of this, it's been going on for however long Biden's been president and longer.
Right.
But, okay. One of the things we know is the problem with the numbers. Mm-hmm. The official numbers and the unofficial numbers, you know?
Right.
So one of the things in New York is, like, I don't know which shelter program it was, but they're keeping somewhat track of how many migrants they're housing and how many they're feeding, mm-hmm. and, you know, for budgeting purposes and that kind of thing. And they've said that in total, this one particular charity or whatever, they've seen 180,000 individuals come through their program.
Wow.
But they can only account for 60,000 because sometimes they have to shuffle people around. You know, they can't stay someplace for indefinitely. Sometimes right. it's only like a week, 2 weeks, 30 days, 60 days. And then they have to move them out,
mm-hmm.
put them through a process, have them reapply, find them a place, and do it all over again, 60 right. days. Then, sometimes people get lost in the shuffle. And here, mm-hmm. according to these numbers, it's about 120,000 for whichever this particular charity thing. So right. you have to wonder, where are 120,000 people going to?
Right. Yeah,
I mean, you can crazy. Think maybe they go to a different charity, find something else, but you have to wonder if they're just leaving the urban setting,
right?
Heading for other areas.
Right.
So, you know, we've talked about that before, and I just think it's a matter of time before we see sort of a trickle-out
mm-hmm.
effect from these major hubs, because you see the migrants no longer getting the benefits that they were originally in the big cities, and moving out looking for resources and money and things, you right. know? So I think it's going to start affecting other communities, mm-hmm. not just right. the big ones.
Well, I wasn't prepared to bring this up, but it came to my mind as you're talking about this. The whole issue of counting non-citizens on the census has come up again within the past couple of weeks. And you know, the fact that there are millions more people here in the country now because of this immigration issue
right.
is going to impact that.
Absolutely.
Because that's how we decide the proportionality of representatives in the districts.
Yep.
And, you know, it's not anywhere close to fair to count non-citizens for the purposes of representation because one, they're not citizens, they don't have the right to vote, and they're not, it doesn't act, at least to me, it doesn't seem like they're actually represented by their representatives. I mean, maybe, you know, theoretically they are because they live there, and the policies that
right,
the
that representative leader,
votes on,
exactly,
yeah, it affects yeah. them, but they're not truly their representatives because, like I said, they don't get to
they
vote
for
them. They
don't answer to them. They're not.
Right.
They don't have an opportunity to hold that person accountable.
Right.
In
yes.
any way.
Yes.
Yeah.
yeah. So I think that's definitely going to be something that plays out, and who knows what kind of way.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, I think just to wrap that part up, mm-hmm. I mean, all I was going to mention is funny. You mentioned California. I was going to say, you know, they rolled out Medi-Cal for anybody from 23 to 49 mm-hmm. back in January. And I think it's just a ticking time bomb. I mean, their economy has been suffering. I don't have numbers right now, but I do know that. I listened mm-hmm. to a recent piece. I could probably find it and put it in the show notes, but I don't want to swear to anything. But I know their economy's not been the best. It's right. been kind of rocky here lately.
Right.
And I think with this Medi-Cal coming available to everybody from like 23 to 49, no mm-hmm. matter what your status is,
right?
I just think it's I mean, because that's going to draw people mm-hmm, to California. Right. And we're going to be seeing this all up and down California, I believe, as well.
Right.
Big problems.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to wish that on California.
Right.
I just think it's easy two and two. You know, you put two and two together. And
right.
if you build it, they will come, you know, or yeah. whatever. So
right.
what are you asking for?
Yeah. I mean, because they... Not to drag it on too long, but they already have a problem of people leaving the state. Their, you know, residential migration is like negative. They have got more people leaving the state than are coming in. And a lot of them are decently high income earners. So the tax base is going away, so they're going to lose the ability to fund their new Medi-Cal for everybody at
Absolutely.
Some point.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when already they are just a drain on the federal government anyways. But so, I don't know. Something's got to give.
Uh-huh.
But it's good to be seeing these issues addressed.
You know? Like Mayor Adams and
Yes, and that's one of the issues in New York, too. I mean, they've had a lot of business and a lot of high-income individuals leave.
Right.
So they'll have to address it.
Yeah.
It's going to come to a head.
Right, exactly. Well, I guess that takes me to my story. It's not really related to anything else, so that's kind of why we saved it for the end. Recently, a couple weeks ago, in one of Ben Shapiro's daily episodes for his podcast or show that he does, he made some comments about retirement that a lot of people seem to not like and kind of got him in the hot water for. And first, he was mostly talking about the issue of raising the retirement age for Social Security because nobody on either side of the aisle really wants to talk about doing that. Some people are, but a lot of the politicians, even if they talk about it, they don't actually ever really do anything about it. And that is a big issue that, as we've sort of talked about before, the bill will come due for. And we got to start working on it. And plenty of people have proposed raising the retirement age to begin collecting Social Security. I believe it's 65 currently. And a lot of people think it should be higher than that. And then he also kind of passively, well, maybe not passively, but tangentially, as he has talked about it, mentioned that he thinks the idea of retiring is kind of, I don't know his exact words, but kind of stupid. And that's mostly what had gotten him in trouble was it seemed like he was poo-pooing the idea of retirement, which in a way I kind of agree with, because most people, your average person works for like, you know, 40 years, especially in the old way that our society used to be, it's often at the same job for decades.
Yeah.
So then after your 40 years of being a construction worker and you just stop working, you know, and go sit on the beach day after day for the rest of your life or whatever, go play golf, it does kind of seem a little silly because, you know, that's quite the change. And, you know, at least in my personal belief, and also from what it seems that Ben was trying to suggest, that you should still find something to do to fulfill your time and fulfill a sense of purpose after your decades of long work. Because oftentimes people who do retire and just go sit around doing nothing to fill their time don't live quite as long. They don't have as you know, healthy of a life and stuff like that. So I kind of agree with what he was saying, and I don't see why too many people would be upset about it, but I think it's mostly like our society and culture has kind of soured on the idea of work to begin with. Like, people having to work is bad. Nobody wants to work. We should be able to just, I guess, sit around and make money somehow.
Manna should just fall from the sky.
Yeah, right.
We shouldn't want for anything.
Right.
Yeah. Utopia, heaven.
Right.
Absolutely.
I mean, but obviously not, people don't have to work all of their lives. You shouldn't have to work a backbreaking job from 20 years old to you croak. As Ben sort of suggested, you go find something else to do. Instead of being a construction worker, maybe you work as somebody who teaches, like, apprentices and, like, classrooms and stuff like that, where you're not actually doing the hard labor, but you're still working in your field of knowledge and stuff like that. Or, you know, go find something that you've wanted to do that you may find more purposeful and fulfilling than just construction, which I'm not picking on construction. That's just an example, yeah, of course.
It's a good example. It's tough work.
Yeah. So I thought it was kind of strange that he'd gotten such negative backlash to those kind of comments.
Well, I think there's good points all around, and sure. I'm sure that Ben meant well, and I'm sure he didn't say nobody should be retired or whatever, right. You know? And
I mean, he even said, like, you know, if you're disabled, you know, something like that, that's a completely different kind of story, but if you're still able and well, the idea that you should, you know, work for your 40 years and just go sit on the beach for the rest of your retirement, I mean, I guess, it, you know, that could be fulfilling to some people, but
yeah, that's all that I was going to say is I think what hits home to me about it is it's kind of like a dream some people have. I mean, even if you know, like I've said to you and Lauren and just about anybody our age, that I don't see retirement in our future. I don't see a Social Security in our future. Yeah, I think you'd better be very wise with your money. Save every penny that you can right now. Or I don't think it's going to be there. I think we're basically going to have to work all our lives.
Right.
But still, it's nice to imagine, even if that's not what you would do. I mean, because a body gets sore, even if it's a beach chair. Yeah. A body gets sore just sitting in a chair, even if it's a lazy boy. Mm-hmm. That's not good and not healthy.
Right.
But even if that's what you want to visualize, though, is I just want to lay on the beach and not do anything.
Right.
You know, it's nice to have that dream. And then
when
somebody comes along and says, like, you know, I mean, because I believe, like I just told you, I don't think I'm going to ever retire.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody came along and told me, even though I believe that, Frank, you'll never retire. You're going to work until the day you die.
Right.
I wouldn't enjoy hearing that, even if I know it's true.
Yeah, I can understand why, you know, hearing it would be kind of upsetting and offensive. But I think really thinking about the idea of it, I don't think should be
too problematic. I just think people don't like to think.
Yeah.
And also, I think that's why I said part of what I said, too, is I think that a normal, healthy-minded person, even if they did just want to drink themselves silly, well, you can only do so much of that.
Yeah.
Even if you just wanted to sit in one spot and never move, well, you can only do so much of that.
Right.
You know? So I think it would work itself out anyway.
Yeah. Well, I think, again, part of what upsets people is the fact that the idea of work has become so negative. Like, just because somebody suggests that you should continue to work after you, you know, quote-unquote, retire, that doesn't still mean breaking your back in the coal mines or whatever. Kind of like I mentioned earlier, go find something that's easier to do, or even if it is a completely different field, something that you'll find fulfilling. Maybe you've always wanted to learn something.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. That's the part I think is exciting, is, you know, maybe you always wanted to be a lawyer but never did it. Well, here's your time. You got nothing else to do. Right. Why not read a law book or two? See if you could have pursued that path. You know, you play a little game. See if you could have been better at math than you were.
Right.
Who knows? Go out and study the stars at night or whatever.
Right. But, yeah, that's all I really had on that. Is I kind of mostly agree with what Ben had to say about retirement and was kind of surprised that he had gotten so much backlash for it. But I guess that's just the way people are these days. We've been, you know, taught to climb that ladder and retire at 65 and take home your pension.
Yep.
But, oh well.
Well, it is kind of unnatural, too.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
That's kind of like what I was getting at. Like, you work all your life, and then you just stop.
But that's why I also don't think it's the craziest thing in the world, though, too. Because even if you look at the old, like, hunter-gatherer type societies, I mean, you might have the idea, yeah, that you have to go hunt and gather. But I bet they still cared for their elderly and their sick. And so, you know, I get that. Like, it still is a societal thing. You still have to, like, support each other and, you know, care for your...
Well, yeah, that's, of course.
Yeah, but...
That shouldn't be discounted.
Well, I just am saying that because I said unnatural. I mean, because I guess it's not exactly... But the idea that you just hit a magic number and you say, oh, I'm 65, never doing anything, I'm going to put my feet up right now, I'm never moving a muscle. That part is silly.
Sure. But yeah, I guess that, that's... That's pretty much all I had on it.
So. Well, I think it was an interesting discussion.
Yeah, me too, me too. And is that all you got, Frank?
That's all I got.
That's all I have. And listeners, we hope you enjoyed this great conservative conversation. And if you did, we would love it if you follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Just search Conservative Conversations. And you can also subscribe on YouTube. Just search for Conservative Conversations 92. I believe it's at Conservative Conversations 92. It should bring up our channel directly.
And as always, we thank you for listening.